All right. Sorry for the delay, everybody. There's been a few technical difficulties, people disappearing. So, welcome to the back end of TechEd. Whose brains are fuzzed up and trying to remember settings and PowerShell commands? And, you know, this console, you need that one. Users, yeah, use this. It's a great time, isn't it? Technology, it's helping us and confusing us and keeping us employed. So my name's Andrew Kosmodakis. I am a practice lead for Intergen based out of Wellington. I'm also a Microsoft partner seller, also known as a P seller. So that's great for New Zealand market. My focus is enterprise mobility. So that covers Microsoft's device management suite, its desktop suite, and some of its private cloud technologies as well, along with the enterprise mobility suite, which is one of its new product ranges to the market via Azure. A lot of people have covered enterprise mobility from a point of Windows Intune and Config Manager this week and a bit of device management. So what I've decided to do is take a bit of a different twist on it. They've looked at compliance, they've looked at registration, they've looked at things like that. So what I've decided to do is take it the next step away from just being able to manage our users and devices. Here we go. And start to fit into the enterprise mobility world, really, the big circle that goes. So right at the bottom, we've got enterprise, we've got mobile device and application management. So a lot of us think device management, who thinks that it's just about getting a mobile phone in someone's hand and having a passcode on it and protecting, you know, their Outlook? Well, I'm glad that everybody's got a different thinking. I asked this question a few weeks ago and quite a few people put their hands up. So when I talk about enterprise mobility and managing devices and mobility in the enterprise, it's actually, for me and personally, and a lot of my customers as well, it's about managing the user, the device, the applications, the data, the tools in the background that manage those their stack. It's not just about enterprise mobility from an application point of view or the fact that my CEO has email on his iPhone. It's great. It's a benefit for him. He sees it as value. As from a security point of view, we've got a few things we've got to worry about. So we've covered this week quite a bit around the compliance, being able to add on additional security features, being able to configure email profiles and so on. So what I want to do is take it up to the next level and start talking about how we manage applications inside that, along with a bit of compliance and a bit more about the enterprise mobility suite. So today's challenges. We've got 60% of devices within a corporate environment are actually privately owned. So the PC that sits here, it's my works. I've got three other devices in my bag that are mine, all connected to work. I'm consuming corporate data and corporate applications on my device. They're not managed. Well, sort of. You get around it when you own the system, I guess. But consumer devices are hitting our enterprise, whether we like it or not. We've got a bunch of younger generation guys coming through, and they're actually demanding more mobility and more freedom with what they're doing with their devices. Device choice. Application choice. The problem with application choice, it enables another IT department called the shadow IT. Those are the guys that are out there just providing data to these users. They're consuming our data. They're doing it and they're running around and it's free. Or they paid for the app, but at least the data's running around free. How do we capture that? How do we enable it? How do we provide them the apps they need so that they can start consuming within our boundaries, but yet having the flexibility to be on the devices that they want? So when we look at all the devices, there's a million different types available. There's the new iPhone 6. Everybody excited about that? Yeah, good. I failed to stop getting excited at iPhone 4. Are these devices still, we've got the Androids, we've got the Nexus, we've got Samsung releasing amazing devices, Nokia or / Microsoft doing great new things with their devices too. We don't need disparate systems to manage them. We're trying to manage them single-handedly, one pane of glass. But I want to be able to deliver applications the same way to all those devices. What about my devices that are on-premise? The ones that are sitting inside my organization. I need to do something with them. So this brings me to three pillars of mobile device management. Now, when I'm talking about mobile device management in a config manager world, I'm talking about using the open architecture MDM protocol to authenticate through to the device management system. I'm not talking about the config manager agent that we deploy to servers and clients that are domain joined within our organization. So there's a bit of a difference there. So we're treating a Windows PC, an iOS device, an Android device, and a Windows mobile phone as a mobile device. That's it. The slide catches up. There we go. So the first thing we need to start looking at when we're talking about mobile device management is unifying our environment. We have on-premise applications, we have on-premise management systems, but yet we also have cloud-based systems and cloud-based applications. We have app stores that are outside of our control. I don't own those app stores. I can't tell you where to go and get that app necessarily. We need to simplify the user-centric approach to application management across these devices. I don't want to be sitting there adding something to the console every day for the different types of devices out there. I want to manage my applications as one entity. When I talk about Microsoft OneNote, I want to be able to manage OneNote as one entity, whether it be on-premise or off-premise. And I guess one of the most important things that happened underpinning all of this is the compliance settings and security. VPNs, Wi-Fi, certificates, email profiles. Those are very, very important. I manage them. I own them. Enabling users. So once I've got the unified system in place, I can now start enabling my users. I can provide them Wi-Fi access to my environment without having to give them the SSID and the password. I can get the root certificate for our environment if I need be out to those devices without having to ask the users to manually install them or go away and download a PFX file and here's the password. My users don't need to know that. That's complex, but that's making it difficult for them. What about when it comes to registering the device? It needs to be simple. How many people have used systems where you have to use an email address and then a completely different password to what you actually use on your day-to-day environment? I'm a BlackBerry user. I've used many different types of devices, and I've always had a different password. It's driven me nuts. And, of course, synchronization of data, whether it be using technologies like Dropbox or SkyDrive and so on. But there's also work folders, ways of exposing my corporate file system to these devices and allowing users to actually be able to synchronize the data back and forth. But I've got to be able to protect it. How do I protect everything that I'm providing these users? What happens if that device is compromised? What happens if they root that device or they actually, can't remember what the Apple terminology is, sorry, it's gone from me at the moment, and they suddenly that layer of management is actually exposed from an underside. I need to be able to identify that and protect it. But I also need to make sure that when those devices are lost or stolen, or the user leaves our organization as part of the offboarding process, that I can claim back all those applications and that data. It's mine. I'm the IT admin. I own it. Pretty iron fist, isn't it? So what are some of the features when we look at unifying our device management systems? When I talk about Windows Intune being a cloud-based service and Config Manager being on-premise, what are some of the key things that I get out of that? I get over-the-air device enrollment. Yep, everybody's doing it. I get self-service portal for my end users, the company portal. One place my users can go and find the applications that matter to their organization. Great. User-targeted availability of applications. But I do that in Config Manager to devices. How many people deploy applications on-premise to devices via Config Manager to device collections? Yep. Who would ever think to deploy to user collections? Good, a few of you. It's awesome. The same approach applies to device management. The applications are user-based. They're for my users. They're not for the device. They could be on any device. I need to make sure that they're getting the application that is relevant to them across the devices that are relevant to them. We've got user and device settings management, the security components we've been discussing, being able to give them access to corporate resources. Device inventory. This is quite key. What's installed? What's the device using? Who is the person that I've assigned that device to? When we run a report at a config manager, we go, these devices associated with John. Well, actually, it'd be nice to see his mobile device as well, and it's there. We can create those reports. The data is there for us. Again, compliance and corporate resources. So how does it all hang together? When we're enrolling devices, the device itself goes out to Windows Intune. Using the Windows Active Directory environment, Azure the Active Directory, which we've synchronized with our on-premise Active Directory via DirSync and ADFS and so on. I've just slammed a quick picture in there. We're providing that unified hybrid identity. It's the same user ID that's on-prem that Ben logs on with every morning. It's the same one in the cloud. The same password that he's using on-premise is up in the cloud. He doesn't have to remember another user ID and another password. It's quite key. Between Intune and Config Manager on-premise, there's the Windows Intune connector. That is the most critical part of this solution. There are a number of components I'm going to dive into now so you can see what exactly holds in there, but that is the component that transfers the information between the device and Intune and the system center server on-site, be it your CAS or your primary server. When we're talking about that connector, there's a bunch of information that does go back and forth, some key information, the user UPN, the user's email address, the username. There's a whole bunch of other information that can go through. I'll tweet after the session and a blog that just went up from the Windows Intune team. It literally went up about an hour ago that tells you all the details of what information actually gets passed back and forth between Intune and Config Manager. It's quite interesting to see what's there. So with that, Intune starts to sync the data that's in its cloud with Config Manager. Config Manager is then suddenly able to see these devices. It can see what's going on. It can see what applications, who the user is assigned to it. So we're getting that single pane of glass for my servers, my on-premise clients, and my mobile devices. So I'm going to focus a bit on the Windows Intune connector because I actually think it's quite important. There's quite a few moving parts to it. When you look at the connector itself, you go, well, it's pretty easy. Look at it, it's a couple of tabs. But there's a whole bunch of things that are based around it that are actually critical to get right from the start. You need a whole bunch of subscriptions. These aren't Microsoft-driven, these are vendor-driven, apart from one or two there, I have to say. You're going to need an Apple ID. It's a given. You need an Apple Store if you're going to manage iOS devices. You need to be able to go get an APN certificate. We've got the Windows Dev Center. This treats two parts to the solution. If you're developing your own custom in-house applications for Windows or Windows Phone, you need to have that subscription anyway. You're going to have it. On the back of that, you actually get a security ID. That security ID is for Symantec. So that ties through to a Symantec code signing certificate for mobile devices. I get the question all the time. I had it even this morning. Why Symantec? Why did Microsoft choose Symantec? Actually, Symantec bought VeriSign. VeriSign was the partner for Microsoft. So you have to purchase the Symantec certificate. And then, of course, you need a Windows Intune subscription. Depending on your licensing, you may already have one, you don't even realize it. A lot of my customers who sit there and go, but it's expensive, it's a per cow, actually go have a look at your EA agreement, your SA agreement. If you've got Config Manager on site, the chances are you actually have Intune subscriptions. For each client cal on site, you probably have a client cal subscription in the cloud. And then, of course, you can register 5 devices in the cloud. So just like Office 365, you get 5 Office subscriptions installs, you actually get 5 devices in Windows Intune. The code signing certificate for Windows, this is traditional security stuff when you're packaging, creating applications yourself. You sign the application so your devices can trust it. This can be an internal code signing certificate. If you have an internal CA structure, you can go away and create a code signing certificate. Put however long an expiration period you want on it and use that to sign the applications. We're talking about modern UI applications here, by the way. Those certificates can then be ported into your compliance settings and deployed to those mobile devices. Your certificate chain can be done. You don't have to worry about, oh, how am I going to get that cert onto those devices? UDM, which is Unified Device Management, using Config Manager and Windows Intune, you can take care of that. Some other things you need to know. The Apple Push Certificate, sorry, that is a requirement from Apple. That means that you can start doing things from your Config Manager environment down to the Apple device, and it's trusted. You know where the communication path is. It's a free certificate. It's one thing that Apple done really well on this one. The interface for it is really simple. You go in, you can type some information so you remember where it is, and you grab the certificate. It expires after 1 year, though. So does the semantic one. Sideloading keys. Is anybody here trying to sideload applications outside of the Windows Store, of course, onto their devices? Yeah, one or two, cool. If you're a domain-joined machine running Windows 8.1 Professional and Windows 8.1 Enterprise, you don't need a sideloading key if you're domain-joined. For machines that aren't domain-joined, a sideloading key enables that device to accept applications that are AppX and those types of formats, the modern UI type, to be injected into your image or your build. So you need those. There's some company branding. A lot of people ask for it. A lot of IT guys go, why? But powers that be tell us they need branding. So what I want to do is quickly walk through some of the connector configuration so that everybody sort of gets an understanding of where all these pieces and moving parts fit together. So when you guys manage users or your computers, do you use AD groups, direct management into collections? It's a vast variety now. So what we do in the case of Windows Intune, for example, or device enrollment, is we can either use group membership, OU locations, the same technologies and the same factors we use when we're managing client devices, we start using it for our users. This is something that was introduced in 2012 in Config Manager and really started to flow through now in R2. The more and more the features get added, the more and more you see why. So this collection means that those users within there, if I just drill into them, are allowed to enroll their device in our device management solution. If they're not in that collection, they don't get access. So suddenly we can manage it real simple from group membership or OU membership or even direct membership into the collection, they just get the access. And the next thing we have to do is we have to set up an Intune subscription. This tells Config Manager where to go and look for Windows Intune. But along with that, sorry, just one step, is if you're managing Apple, you have to create the APN certificate request. What this does is it takes a bunch of information from your Config Manager server, your Intune subscription, and generates a cert or cert request file. You then submit that to Apple, and that's how you get your APN. So you can trust that that certificate is related only to you. So when we start looking at now the Intune subscription, we're telling Config Manager and Intune where to look for each other, what security methods to talk to over what certificates and what connections. We're telling it how to look and feel. What are we actually going to manage? So in this case here, I'm telling it, go and look in this collection. I've called it all Windows Intune enrollment users, to go in and find those users and allow them to be able to enroll their devices in our solution. If they're not in there, they don't get it. So I want to enable Android management. It's a nice, simple tick box. That's it. So that allows suddenly our Android devices to start enrolling into our solution as well. When it comes to iOS, I have to enable the support, and I have to load up the actual certificate itself. When I bring that certificate through, suddenly the communications between the Apple's environment, the Intune environment, and the Config Manager environment seamlessly come together. Now, enabling Windows management is nice and simple. I tick the box, I put my sideloading key in. On top of that, I've got to put my certificate in. I'll show you the sideloading keys in a minute. For the purposes of the demo, I couldn't set up the connector as we were going, or else we'd actually have to sit here for 10 minutes waiting for things to establish. So I've loaded up the certificate file, and that allows Windows Intune, Config Manager, and the applications that pass through it to be trusted. It's not actually the device trusting it at the other end. We've got Windows Phone. Windows Phone's a little bit trickier. The security around Windows Phone means that we have to take a few extra steps. So like I said, the semantic code signing certificate is required. We need to grab that, and we need to get it into the system and get it ready. We do not need to deploy the code signing certificate to the devices. The devices already trust that certificate chain. But what we need to do is provide the company portal. The company portal is the user's self-service environment where they can go in and see their applications and their devices that are registered and applied to them. The company portal has to be signed. We have to sign it with a code signing certificate, and you use the ZapSign tools for it. There's blog articles online for it, and it's actually just a bit of a tricky process at first, but once you get your head around it, you're fine. So that then allows us to enroll a device, and the user can get their company portal, and they're away laughing on a Windows 8 device. Windows Phone 8, sorry. And of course, your bit of information, you know, do you want to put some support information in? What's the support number that people should call? And also, you know, what's the email address should they need to? But normally if your phone's got problems, you're not going to really rush to email them. And the company logo, bit of branding for the bosses. So that has established the relationship between Config Manager and Windows Intune. Those two, they're synced together, they authorize each other, and they understand each other at that point. We have communications between the two. One thing to note, you need to get your firewall configuration right. There's a bunch of other processes that happen in the background that allow Windows Intune to download extensions onto the devices. I'll talk about them shortly. So what happens with the subscription? You've got a bunch of firewall ports you need to have open. It's 80 and 443 through to a bunch of Microsoft services. Once that has been established, we actually need to enable Config Manager to understand further than that and know that it's actually managing a Windows Intune site. So in the Config Manager environment, we select our primary server and we enable the Windows Intune connector. That now says this primary site is managing that subscription. From there, you may notice this site system role. It's a distribution point on manage.microsoft.com. This is sitting in Azure in the Windows Intune service, and this is how your devices will start getting their applications. So everything that happens here, those devices will use that environment for it. It's managed by you. It's against your tenant within Intune. So the next thing, of course, we need to do is make sure that this box is added to the distribution groups. You need to make sure you add that distribution point to any DPGs that you have running within your environment to make sure that the applications are synchronized to it that you need done and deployed. And you'll see that I've got one on-premise DP and I've also got one cloud-based DP. So I mentioned before that we had sideloading keys. The sideloading keys allow us to activate and deploy modern UI applications to non-domain joined machines. We then have to manage those. It used to be part of your software assurance or software volume licensing, you had to purchase these licenses against them. Microsoft changed the licensing model around these with Windows 8.1 Update 1, I think it was, and they're pretty much dime a dozen now. You get enough codes and you can deploy them to your environment. But what happens is, you have a pool of these codes, and they get assigned to devices, and they get activated against the Microsoft Clearinghouse. That then enables your device to actually be able to sideload applications. It's only for Windows 8, Windows 8.1. Does not apply to Windows Phone. So once I have the Config Manager environment and the Windows Intune environment talking to each other and configured, I can now start applying my security settings and my compliance and my company resources and getting all my information back in inventory. I want to take it up one layer. I want to start enabling our users. How do we get the users to start using the applications and the services that are critical to our business? So within the application space and Config Manager in an MDM environment, there are two types of applications. There are native applications. These are applications that you have written yourself within your environment. They're not the store-based applications. So if you have a developer, like I've got a couple of great developers that I work with, Don Smith in particular, who created our demos here, and he can create apps across the board. And he's creating native apps for customers all over the show. And it's great. We're able to sideload these applications and manage these applications on a day-to-day basis like we do any other app within our organization. Then we have deep link applications. These go off to the Windows Store, phone and PC, and App Store for iOS, and Google Play for Google Android devices. These do not take the application, unfortunately, from the store and bring it to your environment so that you can push it down. These actually just present the user a link to the application that you've told them that they should use. So we're deep linking directly into the App Store itself. The user will open up the App Store. When they click on the link, it automatically opens up the App Store, and they get the appropriate app and the appropriate screen for it. So with that, we've got a number of different formats that are supported. These are only the mobile platforms. They're not the x86 and x64 and the setup.exes and the MSIs. This is a mobile device environment we're talking about. These are the types of native formats that are supported. So for Windows 8X and Windows RT, anybody running RT in their environment? No? Yeah, got a couple. Quite popular in the education space. You're running AppX. With Windows Phone, it's a Zap file for Windows Phone 8. Windows Phone 8.1, we're now talking about Zap and AppX. We're starting to get that unified application environment that Microsoft's been talking about. iOS, the IPA file. And, of course, Android, APK. These are the native applications that we can support today, bring into our environment, and manage them like we manage every other type of application in our environment. Has anybody got Config Manager 2012 or above running in their environment right now? That's great. Has anybody noticed the subtle difference between applications and programs in Config Manager? Cool. So for those who don't understand, programs are the legacy system from 2007 and below. We used to pull in an XE or an MSI and you'd fire it off. And it was just a program you were deploying within your environment. Applications introduce a whole new paradigm around managing apps. If you had Office, and you had Office for three different platforms, for example. You then had Office for Windows, Office for Mac, Office for X, and you had to deploy and create packages for each of those applications and deploy them. And you managed three different entities of applications. Under Config Manager 2012 and above, we started to manage the applications as an entity of themselves. So if I'm talking about our Contoso company employee portal, I'm talking about an application. I don't care whether it's iOS, Windows, Windows Phone, Android. It's the application. I'm managing the application. But give me different ways of deploying this application. What happens if I have a Windows Fat Client version of it, a setup.exe or an MSI? Why do I have to manage that differently to the way that I manage my Windows phones? So we bring the concept of applications back in together so you're managing a single entity of a device with multiple types of deployment options. So what I'll do is I'll quickly walk through creating an application and being able to deploy an application out to multiple types of devices. So you can here see I have packages for traditional programs and I have applications. These applications allow me to create an application and manage it as a single entity. So in the case here, I'm going to look at deploying the Contoso company employee portal to our environment. And I'm going to make sure that I manage it simply, but have multiple types of environment deployment types that are supported. And I can put some administrative information around here if there's anything I really need to. You know, it's our internal portal. Okay, great. Any publisher? Well, it's your standard application stuff. Any sort of versions of with stuff or categories we want to apply to it. But what I want to do now is go, all right, how do I let the users know what type of application it is? If they want to go and search for it, how do I make it easy for them to search for it? They know that we have a portal. We've probably communicated on our intranet. So I'll give them the option of searching for a portal category. I can assign some user documentation around it. I can put some privacy statements in there if I need to, and also put some locale information in there should I need to, and change the icon accordingly. In this place, I'm going to highlight the company portal. So now I've got to look at what type of deployments am I trying to create here. All right, I've got iOS, I've got Windows, and I've got Windows Phone. So what I'm going to do is add a deployment type to this. So as you see here, we've got all your traditional application types. Config Manager doesn't try to distinguish, oh, you're only doing this on a mobile device, we have to use a separate type of process. It's a single process. It's common to us IT admins who use Config Manager to deploy applications today. So in this case, I'm going to go through and I'm going to add a Windows application. It's a Windows side loading key already applied to my devices, and I'm going to go through and actually get this modern UI application to my users. Awesome. So I've selected the company portal. In the background, I've had this signed. You might have seen it was a developer license in this case, but I've had the application signed and ready for deployment. My devices out there understand that my certificate chain, and I don't need to worry about it. What I want to do is put some information here so that I can distinguish the difference between this deployment and any other deployments within this application package. If you notice there, you can select to use VPN connections. If I've deployed a VPN connection to devices via the company resource stuff, I can say to it, all right, create a VPN connection. You run this app. You actually have to VPN into our environment. I may have mutual certificate authentication or some other type of authentication enabled, but it takes the application from, rather than going out via the internet, over a private VPN, and disconnects when the app closes as well. And the key part. As it catches up. So the requirements around this package are that it's a Windows package. Config Manager's picked it up and said, well, you're deploying a Windows package, so the chances are you're going to these types of platforms. Yep, Server 2012 R2 is enabled in there. So I can take this application now and I can select to what target audience I want it for. If I don't want to support, if I haven't created, sorry, an application that supports Windows RT or ARM, I'll take the tick off. I don't need to have it visible. Config Manager is smart enough that it's going to distinguish the difference between the platform that I'm targeting and the user is on, and it's not going to present that application to that user. The requirements haven't been met. Any dependencies, traditional stuff from Config Manager. But now what I also want to do is take that Windows application, but I want to add an iOS version. I want to get iOS apps, this iOS version of our app, out to our users as well. And if I can see properly, there we go. And here now I can specify additional requirements for it. Config Manager is going through and realize, well, actually in here, oh, here we go. These are the operating systems that relate to this type of package. I can say, well, actually this app was written for iOS 7 or iOS 8 coming out soon. You will see that appear soon in your console. But you know, do I want to be selective? Is the form factor of the application created for just iPhone or iPads as well? So in this case here, we'll go for all of them. So that now, I've created an application and I've got two different deployment types enabled within it. I'm ready to start actually deploying this to my users, and they will get the application depending on the platform they are on. The platforms that I support. So as you can see here, I'm managing the application, as I said before, as a single entity. Within it, I have two deployment types. As you can see, I've got zero deployments because I haven't pushed it anywhere. One of the things we need to do now is actually distribute the content. And we're talking about getting the content from not just your distribution point on site, but up into the Intune manage.com, manage.microsoft.com distribution point as well. I'll select individual DPs so you can see the fact that I'm actually picking the cloud service as well. Traditionally, I manage everything via DPGs. So that now is taking that application and all the different types of deployment types I have and distributing them where I need them to be. So it's moving them to the cloud. It's moving them to my on-premise server as well. This is making that application available now and ready for the users. It's your traditional config manager application deployment stuff. And if we have a look at the individual deployment types, I can manage now in an individual layer the deployment type should I need to update the package or have I made a chain, an error in the type in the name or something like that. I can actually go away and start to edit the deployment type itself based on my needs, but I'm still managing the overall company portal. Now I'm going to deploy this, and I'm going to start thinking about how I deploy this. The applications and config manager with Intune are smart enough to understand the different types of platforms. I don't need to worry about creating collections for iOS devices, Android devices, Windows Phone, and Windows, so that I can then deploy those applications just to those individual collections. I actually can just deploy it to my users. The requirements, config manager, Intune is smart enough to know whether it presents those applications to my users or not. Why should an iOS user see the Windows client? They can't install it. There's no point clicking on it. Helps if you pick your collection. And in this case, I'm using the users that I've selected who are available and should be using Windows Intune. I could create another collection here and say, well, actually, you know what? It's the employee portal for HR. Only they can get it. It doesn't have to necessarily be the original collection. The enrollment collection is there, but we can start managing like we'd manage other applications within our environment. In this case here, I'm going to make it simple for myself. Again, we can see that it's been distributed. The distribution points are aware of it. I can now choose, just like any other application and deployment within Config Manager, whether it's a mandatory or an available application. Mandatory applications will go out and they will hit the user's devices. Of course, available just means they appear just as they would in the software center. Any time-based limitations I want to put and any other properties that I'd normally do within an application within Config. Unfortunately, due to time restraints, we can't necessarily wait for this to go through and the devices to catch up. So what I want to show is quickly what it looks like from a seamless experience for users across two different platforms. So I've deployed Link for Windows Phone across these two different platforms, and I've enabled those and I've got them out there. My users can start clicking on it, and they don't see the fact that I have Link for Windows deployed to a Windows phone. It's the user. The config manager environment behind it is actually being smart enough to go away and determine what the difference is. As you can see in the plane here, I can start to manage my devices. The same way I can see them, when I drag across here. So I can see that I have a Windows phone enrolled, I have an iPad enrolled, I have my BYO PC, and I have my HP EliteBook. All those can now be managed individually. I can start to decide whether I'm going to wipe them, remove them, factory reset them. This is offering me that advanced management that us as IT admins need so that I can take away the applications should the user leave or should the user's device get compromised or stolen. If that happens, at least I know the data has come away. My applications aren't vulnerable to other people accessing them. So this gives us this single user experience we see across devices. What I also want to quickly cover is just showing a deep link application. So to deep link an application in Windows is very different to deep linking an application in Windows Phone, Android, and iOS. So with the mobile platform, the traditional phone platform as we know, or smartphone platform, I can simply go to the store's website, copy the URL, and present that to my devices. With a Windows PC, I need to do a little bit more dancing, shall we call it. What I need to do in that respect is I need to have that modern application installed on that device. So if I'm going to use Link, for example, I log on to my Windows 8X device, I install Link, and I make it available. One catch, I have to make sure that for the next step to work, I have to make sure that the Windows remote management is enabled. Everybody know winrm/quickconfig, most of us should be using it or have used it. So by doing that, I've enabled remote management. Within the console and config manager, while I'm walking through and trying to deep link an application, I actually have to browse the machine. So config manager goes away, looks at the PC, and gives me the modern application name to return back. It is a bit complex. It's getting easier. But with any other type of device, where we're talking about iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, I simply grab the URL. So I can browse the store, grab the URL, and return to config manager. I'll create a new application for the point of this exercise, but... And you'll see there I get to pick the option for an app package from Android on Google Play. And it's simply asking me for the location. But the location isn't a UNC path or anything. The location is simply the address. And I complete the wizard as per normal. It's a cut-down wizard because it's simpler. It's only a link to an application. Where'd you go? I don't need to distribute this application to any distribution points like I did the other applications. This application lives in the cloud anyway. I don't need to do anything more than that. So this is now about picking it up, pushing it, and deploying it to our users like we would any other application, so that it is available to them and they can see it. Again, I'll just deploy to the same console, collection. See, no DPs appear, they're not required. Whether it's available or not, this, unfortunately, doesn't actually apply if you say required. The user still has to click on the link. It's a deep link, we can't pull it out of the store, unfortunately. But as you can see here, the same approach happens and the same management style is taking place, even though I'm managing an application that is inside a foreign store. Again, what that looks like is like this. So these applications here are deep linked applications. The user clicks on it. Session's probably timed out, probably. Nope. There you go. Give me 2 seconds, sorry. This is actually based on time as opposed to idle time, which doesn't help. Oh, might just have to let it go. So what would happen here now is I would actually be able to click on it. It would take me away and open up the appropriate store based, again, on the application and the store that I'm talking to and the device that I am on. It will not present an iOS application to a Windows device. There we go. So the next part of the environment is, you know, we've got these applications out there now. We have to worry about some sort of device security at some point as well. We've talked about, you know, having control over those devices and so on, and that's great. We've got the security, we've got the features. But how do we keep maintaining security and maintaining the features that come through as things change? So with the iPhone 6 being launched the other day, Apple made available iOS 8. Developers are already using iOS 8. One thing that's happened is Microsoft's been working closely with Apple in the background. And what they've done is they've already enabled iOS support in Windows Intune. So what happens there is we can start to enroll iOS devices running iOS 8 within Windows Intune. Windows Intune has a way of offering quick turnaround. Microsoft makes changes to Windows Intune's environment and adds features anywhere between 6 weeks, every 6 weeks, and every 3 months. It's a rapid release cycle. Some of us will go in one day into the console and find out that it's changed. Anybody notice any changes this week within Windows Azure, for example, the console in itself, or features? Yeah, it's tripped over a few demos, unfortunately, but that's the rapid rate of change. They don't stop, they won't stop, and it's great. We're getting more value, we're getting faster turnaround. We don't have to wait for a yearly cycle to be able to enable a new feature. The way they're doing this, though, also enables admins to have a little bit more granular control over what they're enabling within their environment. I don't have to raise a change control now to start supporting these new features as they get released. If you have a look there, you know, Windows Phone 8.1, for example, VPNs, Wi-Fi, and everything came through, but you start to get a few extra features. A couple of things that aren't listed there, which is baffles me a bit, is the ability to blacklist and whitelist. Being able to actually blacklist, whitelist applications. I don't want people within our environment on our corporate-owned device, for example, running Angry Birds or Subway Surfers, whatever it is. Maybe I want them to be able to just run our corporate apps. I'll whitelist all our corporate apps. Anything that I deploy out there, I'll push it out. It's a policy. I'll get it out there. To be able to do these things, we have compliance settings. But with compliance settings, we need to be able to enable ongoing advanced features. And that's where extensions come into play. Extensions from Windows Intune are a very little package that comes through. It comes from Windows Intune's environment into Config Manager. We see the extension come through when the admins, by the way, when admins open their consoles, not the restricted users within your environment. So admins open the console, they get a prompt. Hey, there are new extensions available. What do you want to do with them? Go to this location and enable them. And by enabling, what actually happens is on your primary site or your CAS, it actually downloads the package from Microsoft, installs the XMLs and all the other little bits that go with it, and makes it available to everybody who's got console access, of course. And that then allows us to start applying new features. Microsoft have provided 8.1 support, email profile support, they're doing iOS 7 support, and with that, there's going to be coming iOS 8 support. And that will just come down as a simple extension that will just get applied. I don't need a change control. I don't need to put a roll up on my server. I don't need to then start looking at service packing. I don't need to do a config manager upgrade. The functionality just comes through. Extensions, look into them. The compliance settings and the ability you've got, this starts to add so many more features to your MDM solution. It's well worth the effort. So, in the greater scheme of things, we've got the Enterprise Mobility Suite. I've just spoken how mobile devices and application management fits there, but enterprise mobility is a bigger piece. People-centric IT covers a number of areas. We've got desktop virtualization. We've got hybrid identity, getting your cloud and on-premise hybrid identity sorted, your user ID and your passwords, seamless. Mobile device and application management. We've got access and information protection. You know, with the growing number of devices, we need to be concerned about what happens with our data, our users, and our mobile devices. What I want to quickly do is cover off some of the key factors of the Enterprise Mobility Suite. We have the hybrid identity management piece, as I said. Via Windows Azure Active Directory Premium, you get self-service group management. self-service password resets. Users having the ability to reset their passwords without calling your help desk. Security audit reports. I don't know if anybody's heard about this over the last few days, but if I log in here today and then I'm logged in Singapore or China within 2 minutes, well, it's impossible to be there. It can generate reports to my IT admins or myself, and I can see the information. We are trying to be attacked. Somebody's trying to get our information. Multi-factor authentication for on and off-premise out of Azure. Did anybody see Daniel Barboa's photo, demo the other day where he actually sparked up his Windows phone, answered it, and there it was. His phone signed in for him. Multi-factor authentication taking the Windows Azure's, I think it was called PhoneMe service, and bring it to on-premise. Being able to protect your VPNs, your Outlook Web Access or your web servers, and actually getting them functioning out of Azure's multi-factor authentication environment. Single sign-on, SaaS applications. Being able to log into a simple page and click on your applications and only have to sign in once. And I've got 2 seconds, I'll quickly bring that up. So from a SaaS point of view, there's all these applications that are based on an HTML website. All these online services that I'm consuming, our organization is making available to me. Well, I don't want to have to remember individual passwords for each one. How do I remember the Air New Zealand user ID and password for my organization? I don't want to have to re-enter my details every single time I come to Office 365. Single sign-on or password caching in some respects for some applications actually takes that and passes it through, allowing the user to have a seamless experience across it. And that's going to work out great. I think our internet connection is playing up on here again. All right. We'll let it go. Oh, here we go. So I didn't have to sign in. It's passed it through. That's the SaaS-based applications that are available. This environment is also available on iOS, Android, Windows Phone. I get the same seamless experience with the applications across all the different platforms. And of course, the custom branding. Mobile device and application management. Simple enrollment. User ID, password. Hybrid identity took care of the user ID and password synchronization in our environments. I sign in once. Device compliance. Being able to get those security and the resources out there. Application deployment, as I showed you. Consistent user experience. Across my devices, I'm seeing a similar type of environment. I'm seeing a similar experience. My apps and my devices, and how to get hold of people. And of course, for an IT admin, it's a single console managing all of this. I'm managing my servers, I'm managing my on-premise desktops, and my mobile devices the same way I do today. I don't have to learn a new tool and a new application. Access and information protection. One of the great new features that just came out of the Enterprise Mobility Suite is the ability to apply rights management to applications out of Azure. I don't need to implement rights management on-premise. I've got it in Azure now. It's a simple client. It can even go out to BYO devices. The user can simply install the client. It authenticates as them, and they can start applying rights management to Outlook and any other files they need, or Word documents, Excel. I can then start using some of the dynamic controls around it to say, actually, that can confidential document, you're not viewing it on a device that's not in our environment. You can't take it away. I can. Secure access to work data, using things like Windows File Services work folders, gives you the ability to synchronize your data and move it around within all your different device types, but administrators like ourselves still have control. I can provide dynamic access control over the top. It says, actually, here's some files we make available offline, but actually, if you're not Bob, you can't get it. But if it says confidential in it, there ain't no way you're taking it or viewing it on that device. You'll only view it on a machine that's domain joined within our environment or a VDI session or a remote app session. Which brings me to virtual desktops. How many people here have got some form of remote desktop services / Citrix / under the technologies running in their environments right now today? Yep. Security, is that what we're using it for? Protecting data, user simplicity, user access, cross-platform access. Anybody trying to do that? No. From a point of view from remote desk, remote app, remote host sessions, and remote VDI sessions, we can start to provide platform-agnostic environments. Microsoft have released the remote desktop client, which is how I've been deploying, completing the demos today, for systems that are running back in our office. I simply type in the URL. This remote desktop app is available on Windows, Windows Phone, Android, and iOS. I type in my user ID and password. Again, people-centric. And I'm getting my applications that are available to me via VDI. It may be a secure application that I want them to run. I don't want them to be able to run finance application as a modern UI application on their desktops. I want to provide it to them as a remote app. I maintain control, simplified upgrades or other reasons. You have VDI in your environment. Running an application like the remote desktop application allows me that. It's simple. It goes away and just looks for the URL and presents it back to us. This also integrates with our start menu. So the users actually get a seamless experience. You can see all the kids and everything. There you go. And there are my applications appearing at the end. They're my work resources. Those are the applications that I can access today that have just been integrated into my start menu. I simply signed into the application. But if I want to, I can pin it to my start menu as well. So to sort of start wrapping it up, hopefully out of this you've taken the fact that we can unify our environment, our cloud services and our on-premise services, and bring them together. We can provide access to resources to our users in a simplified fashion. We can enable our users, when it catches up, there we go, enable our users to be more productive with the applications that matter to them but also matter to us. I can start syncing data to them. I can get them the files they need while they're out on the road. But also, and more critically, I can actually provide security and protect that information. We don't want that information getting rogue. I'm from Wellington, government everywhere. We all know how rogue it can get. So thank you very much for your time today, guys. I really do appreciate it. Being the last session, there is no related content. Go to Channel 9 on MSDN, look for TechEdNZ. You can download all the PowerPoints, the presentations, and the videos. If you need to have a chat to me, I'm around the hub, or I'll be here for the next 10 or so minutes if anybody's got any questions. Thank you very much.